I'm delighted now to be joined by playwright and stage director Karen Meenan. And hi, Karen, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Now, you have the Making Hay Reminiscence Theatre Company.
That's right.
And there's also, that company has been the event organiser of the European Reminiscence Network event,
which is being held. Yeah.
Yes. So tell us. It's a long thing. So that's been held on the 1st to the 3rd, is it, of May in the Marine Hotel?
That's right. It's next week. So we're almost, we're over a year in the planning at this stage. So it's for a year I've been saying it's next May and now it's next week. I can't believe
so
let's take that length of time to get people. We've had people from 15 countries around the world. So it's like spectacularly successful, and normally held in London. Pam Schweizer, who is the director of the European Reminiscence Network, is based in London, so the conference is generally held in, and I've been there twice. And then in January last year, I was at the conference, and it was around that time all the nonsense with Brexit, and Pam said, kind of jokingly, she says, gosh, maybe we should move it next year. She says, has anyone ever been to Dublin? And nobody in the room put up their hands, and I said, yeah, let's go to Dublin.
Lovely, very nice.
And that's what happened.
Now, so back up a little bit, we'll go to, because Reminiscence Theatre, and it celebrates the memories of older people. So perhaps if you tell us a bit about the theatre company itself, and then go on to this network, what this is going to be all about.
Okay, so my involvement in it is purely personal. My mom had Alzheimer's, and so she was in her 80s. She was in about 84 when we really, I suppose she was showing signs of forgetting things and changes in behaviour for maybe a year or so before that. But when she got a diagnosis around 84, at that stage, I mean, as a family, we were distraught because didn't know what to do with this new information and how to care for mom with dementia.
Yeah.
So my sister Orla, being very creative, set up the Forget-Me-Nots Choir for her. And I don't know if you've heard of the Forget-Me-Nots.
I have heard of the Forget-Me-Nots Choir.
Yes,
and I'm actually hoping to get my own mum in, because as I say, she's just a little forgetful. And that was a lovely name, wasn't it? The Forget-Me-Nots Choir.
It's a fabulous name. And it's all about, mum was kind of a little concerned about, she says, am I forgetting things? I said, no, just a little. And I said, we all forget a little bit.
Exactly.
And it doesn't really matter, because in the Forget-Me-Nots, everybody has the words of all the songs, so it doesn't matter if you get the words. Everyone is holding them, and it doesn't matter if you get the name of the person sitting beside you, because we all wear name badges.
Yeah.
So these are all the little prompts that it doesn't really matter what you remember or what you forget. The whole point is, are you having fun? Are you engaging? Are you having a chat with the person beside you when you're having a cup of tea? These are all really important things. And then when somebody sings a particular song, it reminds them of something. And we've heard all, like the choir is now 5 years old, so we've heard all sorts of gorgeous stories about, I met my wife, we were dancing to that same song in the Iron Ballroom 50 years ago. And you have gorgeous stories like that.
And I would say that they don't actually forget the words, because I sing quite a bit with my mum at home, and it'll just come out of a phrase or something that's been said, and it'll lead onto a song. We live a musical, we do. We're constantly living in a musical. But she will not forget those words. She remembers all the words of
They're
all the old
words.
Songs.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic.
And poetry as well. We found with our mom all the poems that she had learnt off by heart when she was in school. And she knew all the words of all the poems, and all you had to do is start the first line of a poem and she'd be off.
But
it was wonderful, because it was even towards the very end, when mom was nonverbal, we were able to sit beside her bed and recite poetry to her, and her face was full of recognition, and you knew she knew the words, and she was nodding along to the pentameter, you know, the iambic pentameter, and all these things that we learned in school. And the rhythm was all cadence. All those remembered things are really nice when you're a little bit older and you want to go back to somewhere that was less stimulating, if you like, than today.
Yes. And where is this Forget-Me-Nots Choir then, for anybody who's
listening? So the Forget-Me-Nots Choir, that was set up in Baldoyle Community Centre. So that's 5 years ago. And we just had our fifth birthday recently. So Mam was in that choir for the first 2 years. And then she sadly died in June in 2016. Oh, and nice. Yeah, so around that time, it was I found it very difficult to go back for a while, mm-hmm. because every single song there reminded me of Mam, and I thought, oh God, I don't know if I can go to choir without Mam being there. Now the choir still goes on, of course it does, mm. and I've since gone back. Yeah. But for those couple of months after Mam died, I just found the whole thing too sad.
Yes.
So my sister Orla continued on, and she still does now. And my other sister Fiona does all the digital marketing for the choir, which is amazing. Now you think Facebook and Twitter are not really the right places for a dementia inclusive choir, but if you think about the value of sons and daughters and grandchildren and nieces and nephews who are in Australia and Canada getting to see Uncle Des singing a solo, and they're able to get on Facebook and say, wow, brilliant solo today, Des, thinking of you. You know, even
excellent.
If Uncle Des isn't on Facebook, we can go back on the Tuesday and say, Des, your niece in Australia posted on Facebook saying you're brilliant. And he says, really? Oh, I didn't know she saw it. You know,
that is
like, that's
fantastic,
the value of social
yeah.
media at its very best.
Mm. Yes, yeah, it can be very, very good, and then the other
yes.
extreme,
if
yes,
it,
yes.
If it's used in a really positive way.
Yes.
So what I did then after that was I kind of didn't know what to do with myself when Mam died, and there was that kind of hole in my life. I thought, mm-hmm. I really want to do something, and I'm not sure what. So I went back to full-time education, and I did a BA in drama, mm-hmm. and part of the BA was to write a play. And I actually didn't realise I would be writing a play.
Yes, yeah.
You know, at 50 something, you know, mm. and I kind of going, I thought I was studying drama, didn't realise I actually had to do it.
Yes,
so
yeah.
They were going, yes, everyone can write a play. You just need to think about something that you're interested in, and off you go, find the words. And then you have to write a dissertation on top of that. And I'm going, oh my God, what do I write it on? And I said to my tutor, I said, you know what I'd really like to do? I'd like to make some piece of theatre that is as much joy and has as much engagement with older people as the Forget-Me-Nots choir does, and mm. so that's what I'd like to do. And I thought I was inventing this whole thing, and she says, ah, she says, you're talking about reminiscence theatre. I didn't even know it existed. And she says, go home and Google it, and you'll learn more about it. Mm. So I went home and Googled, and this one name kept coming up all the time, was Pam Schweitzer. And mm. so I wrote to Pam, and I said, you know, I'm a student learning about drama. I said, can you please tell me a little bit more about it? She says, well, if you're in London, come over and we'll have a chat. Mm. So off I went to London and met her, and I was telling her all the things that were in my head, and she said, you're you know, she was all, whoa, hang on a minute. You know, she says, you all your ideas are sound, but, excuse me, you're confusing them all. So she said, there's four different strands to it. So she gave me a kind of a masterclass in how to separate it out, how you start with a reminiscent session, and then it's a workshop, and then it's a full play, how you record it, and, you know, and you find verbatim theatre and do some improv. So it's a very structured way.
You're doing this with the people. You're actually speaking
yes.
to them, and you're getting there, and then they mm-hmm. make up that play then for you. Is it?
Absolutely. That's
right.
Absolutely. It's a co-creation.
Right.
It is amazing.
Right.
So we're on our third play now at this stage.
So it's people remembering, just telling you their little stories,
yeah.
and then
you, yeah.
that is fantastic. Absolutely.
It's amazing.
And what's the play with me in it? I was wondering, was the ME for something else, you know, because it was done,
nope.
whatever way it's written,
no,
it's capitals.
It's the absolute emphasis on, it's the play with me
with
in
me.
It.
With yeah. me,
and how that came about was, I was doing a series of workshops in St. James's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lovely creative space there in MISA, which is Mercer's Institute for Successful Aging. There's a gorgeous woman there. Roisin Nevin is her name. She's the creative life coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked me to do a series of workshops. So on day one of the workshop, I met these amazing people. Some had dementia, some didn't. Some were inpatients, and some were just neighbours who lived near the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really matter. Everyone wore a name badge. And I had met them all for the first time, so I had no idea who was who. And there was this gorgeous woman there who was wearing a hat, very stylish lady in her 80s. And as I was being introduced to her, I said, oh my God, I said, love the hat. I said, were you a model back in the day? And she says, how did you know? And she was just this gorgeous looking woman who had really good sense of style and a beautiful hat, but carried it off as only very few people can. She was like a lady going to the races. And I said, wow. I said, tell us your story. And it turned out that this gorgeous woman had worked in Cassidy's back in the day. And I don't know, do you remember Cassidy's, the fabric shop?
Oh, I do. Yes,
yeah.
She wasn't
okay,
that gorgeous woman that was. She was on the TV program that they did for people 100 or something.
Older
yeah.
than Ireland.
That's
yes.
it. Was
so,
she on that?
She wasn't. I remember that program, but she could have easily been on it.
Yes.
So this lady, she told me the story about how she was the exact same size and shape as this famous model, Adrienne Ring. And I'm going, who's Adrian?
That is so funny. I'm named after Adrian Ray. No, oh my
way.
Goodness, yes. My mum was in the fashion industry herself. And she loved that. And I never even thought she existed. I was always looking up, who is this Adrian Ring? And mum says, that's who I named you after. That is so funny, my goodness.
That is ridiculous. That is how the story came about, because she said that she was the same size and shape as Adrian Ring. And I'm who's Adrian Ring? And she says, oh my God, she was the Irish Twiggy, the best looking woman in Ireland in the 60s. Oh, that's who you're named after.
Goodness, that's who I'm named after, my goodness.
No pressure. But then I said, tell us more about Adrian Ring. And she said, oh, she was absolutely gorgeous. And she said, Cassidy's used to save money on her and on me, because they would fit all the garments to me exactly, every dart, every seam, every hem. So they'd only have to pay Adrian when it came in for the catwalk, because she didn't have to get paid for any of the fittings. Because our gorgeous woman in the hat was the girl, the fitting girl.
Wow.
So then Adrian would come in and model all the stuff, and it would fit at her precisely. So that was our lovely lady's claim to fame. So when it came to the bit, I said to her, and I said, was she nice? And she says, was she nice? She was absolutely gorgeous. She was as gorgeous as she looked. And she says, and I said to her, I would name my firstborn daughter after her.
Well, so it's definitely not my mum. I'm not the firstborn daughter.
So she did, and she named her firstborn daughter. And then years later, like years and years later, she was in Grafton Street, and she was wearing the hat, which is her hallmark. And Adrian, she bumped into Adrian Ring, and Adrian said to her, oh my God, she says, you look just as stylish as you always did. And she said, how are you? She said, you're still gorgeous. Tell us about it. And she said, well, I've married and I've got 3 kids and so on. And then she says, and actually, she said, I have a little girl and her name is Adrian. I named her after you. And Adrian Ring says, oh, that's fantastic. She says, I never married and I never had any children.
Wow.
And she says, and I'm so pleased that there is a child named after me. So now.
Now there's another. And is Adrian Ring still living, or?
No, she's not, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I did follow her up. She was killed, unfortunately, in a car crash.
Oh.
I believe in Cork years ago. So that was kind of a sad end for her. But I've looked at photographs of her. Have you ever seen a photograph of her?
I haven't. No. You must send me one in.
Oh, Google her. She's absolutely beautiful, stylish, iconic.
Yes.
Wears the hat and the pointy shoes.
Oh, that's me.
She's like a 60s. Beatnik, she's so beautiful. So yeah, so that's who you're named after.
Wow, that is such a coincidence.
We had loads of lovely stories like that. So that was one person's story, and then there was another person's story. He was a county hurler back in the day, and he lost 2 front teeth in a county final one day. And I was saying, wow. And he says, oh yeah. He says, but that turned out to be a really good day for me. He says, because I went to a Cayley that night, and I met my future wife on the same night. He said, she had no interest in me at all. He says, but I asked her to dance. And she spun me around on the dance floor so hard that I fell. And then she came over to me. She saw the 2 front teeth they're missing. And she thought she had done it. And I said, did you tell her about the county final? He said, no, I didn't. He said, she stayed with me all night, kind of out of pity. He said, but by the end of the night, she really liked me. And I gave her a crossbar home on the bike. And he says, and then we got married and we're together 53 years. And I'm going, oh my God, that's a great story. So he says, losing the teeth was a great day for me.
Yes.
You know, he says, that's when I met my wife. So what we did was we collected all these gorgeous stories, and one person arrived to the workshop late, and they came in and they said, so sorry I'm late, waiting for the 1-2-3 bus. And he says, but there was no wheelchair ramp on board, so I had to wait. And I go, wow, that we could put that in the play. So this play, A Play With Me In It, is set at a 1-2-3 bus stop, whereby all these people are just waiting at a bus stop as they would. Now, not maybe so much now with younger people who all have earphones, but back in the day, I remember chatting to people at bus stops. I know my mother always chatted to people at bus stops.
Yes.
So there are these six characters who all just meet at the 1-2-3 bus stop, and they all have a chat. And it turns out two of them actually know each other from the past.
Oh, right.
And that's the story. Now, that bit is made up, but, you know, but that is the play.
Yeah.
So the play is on in the Marine Hotel next week.
Oh, so that's what the network is. The whole weekend is something different. You're going to have people reminiscing, is it? Or doing workshops and things like that?
Yeah, so a series of workshops, lectures, presentations, plays, music, theatre, memory boxes, scrapbooks. You know, so it's the next Thursday and Friday. So it's Thursday the 2nd of May and Friday the 3rd of May. So our international guests are coming over on the Wednesday. Now, they're all specialists in something. So it's either drama or film or photographs or dance. Actually, we've this gorgeous gerontologist. He's a retired doctor from Czech Republic. Dr. Peter Valletta is his name. And he's also a trained ballet dancer and choreographer. So he's giving a beautiful workshop, a dance workshop, particularly for people who are in wheelchairs and have dementia on Friday afternoon. And that's in the Marine Hotel in Sutton. And so he's Dr. Peter Valletta. There's another gorgeous, there's a lovely woman, Dr. Jane Bentley. She's from Scotland, and she has a music therapy workshop, and it's for everyone and anyone. Anyone can find a beat and anyone can find a rhythm. And she certainly helps everybody to find the rhythm and the beat using percussion instruments. So she's on the Thursday. We have another gorgeous woman, Dr. Dana Walrath. She's from America, and she's got Armenian heritage, and her mammy's name was Alice, and her mom got Alzheimer's, like my own mom. And so she, her mom used to love to read, but as her sight was failing and as she got a bit older, she couldn't read stories anymore. Her favourite story was Alice in Wonderland, I suppose because she was also named Alice. So what our speaker did, Dana Walrath, she made a comic book for her mom, called it Alzheimer's. And it was all about the adventures of Alice in this new world of Alzheimer's, where you can do anything you want. And so she has created this whole thing of graphic memoirs, which are astonishingly, it sounds very simple. I mean, when we learn to read, we learn through picture books and we learn through stories and comics, and then we go on to read novels. But there's no completion of that arc when we get older. There's no comic books to return to. So what Dana has done is she has created another place for us to go when we're old, our own stories created again using the medium of artwork and comic figures, so that we can follow the story much more easily. So that's, and Dana's on Friday. So we have people coming from Singapore, from Finland. Graphs are actually huge in Finland, Czech Republic, Spain, France. In France, we've got the famous filmmaker Carl Cordonnier. He's his wife has early onset dementia, so he's been photographing her for 25 years. So he has a full film of life with her for 25 years, and it's called I Still Exist, J'existe Encore. So that's an absolutely beautiful film that's going to be shown on Thursday. So we have a full range of people from and Denmark. Theatre is their thing as well, and workshops. So we've got 15 countries. In Singapore, they do an awful lot of improvisation, where they would introduce something like a prop, like a hat or a wooden spoon or a mixing bowl or something. And or in Japan, introduce a piece of paper, and that's origami. So it depends on your culture. And I suppose the rule of thumb is whatever it was that you were interested in and you liked doing when you were young, that's introduced back to you again when you're older. And you still have that whole muscle memory and mastery to do all those lovely things again.
Oh, brilliant. So now, for people who want to attend, what way, you know, there seems to be different conferences, different days, different things happening. So can they just go along to the whole 2-day event, or are they all done separately or priced separately, or what's it?
It's all one event, and you can go to as much or as little as you want to.
Right.
So it's you can book on makinghaytheatre.ie, www.makinghaytheatre.ie, and you can book for day one, is the Thursday, where it has, oh, we've got another lovely, I don't know if you ever heard of the play, Take Off Your Cornflakes. It was written by Rose Henderson. Okay, Rose Henderson is, you might remember her from Father Ted, she's Sister Attracta.
Ah, yes, she's very good, isn't she? Yeah,
she's hilarious. And she's also in that ad, the Daniel O'Donnell ad.
Oh, she's brilliant in that, yeah.
She's amazing. Yeah. She's amazing. Now, her dad has Alzheimer's, and she has created this play with her colleague, Pat Nolan, who was in Fair City. Rosemary and Pat have made this gorgeous play called Take Off Your Cornflakes. So there's a performance of that on Thursday. And so to book, you go onto the website and book. Their ticket prices start from €30 if you're a family member, a carer, or a student. And you can book for just one day Thursday, or a full 2 days Thursday and Friday if you wish. There's a special discount if you use the code ASI. Now, ASI stands for Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, because the 2nd of May coincides with the Alzheimer's Tea Day. So that's our contribution to the Alzheimer's Tea Day.
Right.
So you book using the code ASI, and you can get it for €30. And that includes your access to all the conference, all the performances, lectures, exhibitions, and you get your lunch in the Marine Hotel as well.
So you use the code ASI?
Uh-huh.
And you'll get the
now,
whole
if you like, what I can do is I can put it out on Twitter, and you can retweet it to your followers, and mm-hmm. they'll be able to pick up the code as well, if that makes it easier.
That's great. Excellent.
Okay.
Yes.
Brilliant.
That's fantastic. So really, you have such a fantastic time, really, getting all these stories. Because I love chatting to my mum again. And I've often thought, and I remember giving Dad little recording devices, and he kept saying he was going to record, because the stories he would tell us. And it's terrible that they're all gone now. He never got to record them. But even sitting listening to my mum and the stories she's telling me, I should be recording them as well.
Record them on your phone.
Yes,
yeah. We used to record Nanny all the time.
Yes, that's a great idea.
And it's so
idea.
Nice listening to her voice again.
Oh, it is, yeah.
On Mother's Day this year, I got out a recording of Mam, and you just feel really connected when you're actually listening to her voice again. It's lovely. Mam used to teach Irish all the time. She had a full-time carer, Tembi, who was from Malawi. Right. And she used to teach Tembi Irish. So I have on my phone gorgeous recordings of Mam and Tembi having a cup of Bukalof Gaelga, you know.
Very good.
Sanam Bitch, you know, Gunnus Athonu. And Tembi was there. Tembi is Sanam Dom. Isos Malawi, me.
Oh, my goodness.
So nice.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Concert. I forgot to tell you that.
Yes, I was going to tell people about that. That's on the Thursday.
Conference. It is. It's Thursday evening, and it's totally free. And we're so blessed and so thankful to all our sponsors. So Dublin City Council, Fingal County Council, Fáilte Ireland, Mattress Mick, who has been so generous as well, Una Healy Design, and we have DCU Age Friendly University. There's a gorgeous woman there called Christine, and she was able to sponsor it. Now, do you know, I didn't realise this, but in DCU, there's an age-friendly university network where you can go onto their website, and you can. There's loads of different courses that you can do as an adult that don't cost the earth. Like, I mean, prices starting from €100.
And which website is this that you get onto?
This is DCU Age-Friendly University.
Oh, yes, yeah. Right. And then anyone of any age can do these?
Anyone of any age, yes.
Right.
Now, it's not the full university course. You can still go to lectures. But if you go onto the website, it'll give you the range of what is available. Also, we have a new sponsor, Home Instead, Senior Care, are another sponsor of ours. We're very grateful to have them on board. Mm-hmm. And then just yesterday, EY are sponsoring our lanyards and pens and notebooks. So it's a real case of, because we've got so much sponsorship and we've been so lucky to gather it, that it means that we can keep the prices as low as possible. The Marine Hotel have been excellent to us as well, and Baldoyle Print. So we're able to do all of this for €30, which includes a full conference for a full day and a lovely meal by the seaside as well.
That's brilliant. So each day then would just cost you €30?
Each day, €30. So use the code ASI, and that's the code that will get you into the conference for just €30. Normal price is €65, so that's less than half price.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful way to meet all sorts of people. You'll be mingling with people who are retired doctors who have an interest in dementia, and people who are carers. And then you've got volunteers and interested people just like me who do it because, you know, my experience, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I love the whole thing of dementia and how we can do small little things to help our parents, or if you're a carer, how you can connect with the person that you're caring for, more than just the whole thing of making sure to take the medication or to have a shower every day. You know, the day is a very long day, and you need to find all sorts of ways to fill it. You know, and I love the way you said your life is a musical. I mean, that's such a gorgeous way to spend a day.
We're just constantly singing, or we just... you know, I'll wake her in the morning, and then we might sing. Oh, yes, she was told the other day, we were out with my sister and brother-in-law for bank holiday Easter lunch.
Yeah.
And while we were out, they said they're bringing her to the King and I. it's going to be on in the Grand Canal Theatre. And yeah, like, she just loves all of these, you know, the musicals. Yeah. And I remember the movie, and we were talking about Deborah Kerr and Yul Brynner, yeah, and, you know, who's going to be acting in it. Well, when we came home then, the two of us, I was, shall we dance? And I just grabbed her. And then the two of us up, one, two, three, and, you know, and we were up and down the hallway having a dance. We have such fun, you know, in that way. But really, I think myself, I'd love to bring Mum along to this, and I'd love to go myself, as you say, to speak to carers, other carers that are at home, and they don't, you know, just talking to people for about their experiences or what they found was good, you know, that sort of thing. So definitely I'll try to get along to one of the days.
Please, we'd love to have you there.
Yeah, definitely. I
suppose it's all about finding the thing that is interesting for the person when they were young. There's on LinkedIn, I don't know if you're on LinkedIn or not, there's some amazing people I've met on LinkedIn. Right. And this one guy in particular has posted a gorgeous post today about his dad, who has dementia, who's 90 years old, who was a great basketball player back in the day and was also a basketball coach. And he brought his dad had got very withdrawn, so he brought him down to the basketball court with his son. Mm-hmm. And once his dad held a basketball again, he came alive. And there's a gorgeous video of him and how he's progressed through the whole video. It's only like a little 3 or 4 minute video, and how he's able to pass a ball and he's still able to give instruction to his grandson, saying, no, you came for the square and did the layup, and he's able to give him instruction.
Yeah.
And they're having the crack. And then after that, he's laughing, he's engaged, he's involved. Oh, that's all you want. I know for my own mom, she loved baking. When we were very small, we were allowed to crack an egg as part of our contribution to baking cake, and she'd praise us all, saying, oh, you made a lovely cake today, and all you did was crack an egg.
Yeah.
But in later years with Mam, when we'd be baking with Mam, she would be the one cracking the egg, and then we'd be in the kitchen, and she'd go, that's really smell. Did somebody make something? She said, you did. You made a cake. It's in the oven. Oh, my God. Did I make a cake? And then you take out this cake. She goes, I haven't lost it yet, have I?
Oh, my God. You're terrible. And you'd let her think that she'd made the cake.
Make it. As long as you're involved.
Well, this
activity,
is true. Yeah.
It's your activity. You know, and does it matter if you did 10% of it or 50%? It doesn't actually matter if you're involved and you're having a crack.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, you know. So.
Yeah. And I say that all the time. I say, you know, like that song from The Lion King, The Circle of Life. And I said, that is exactly it. Yeah. We just go full circle. We start off, you know, being the baby, looking for this and the other and being fed, and then we just come straight back to it, you know. But, yeah.
Only this time I think it's kind of we're older and wiser, and I think when you get a diagnosis of dementia, I mean, of course it's a big shock at first because nobody wants that diagnosis. Who does? But having got it, you kind of think, okay, what are we going to do now? You know, we're not going to just sit around and wait, you know, for memory loss to get worse and worse and moods to get worse and worse. What are we going to do about it? Another thing that Mam really liked doing was going to charity shops. So there was a gorgeous little charity shop at the top of our road, Vincent's. So Mam used to go up to Vincent's every kind of 3 or 4 days, and she'd buy all sorts of stuff. Like, she'd have a budget of maybe 20 euros or something, and she'd buy all sorts of stuff. And then we'd bring it back up to Vincent's again, and she'd go back up a few days later and buy the same stuff again.
Oh my goodness, you were awful.
But it was a day out.
Yeah, she was
and
having
it was
fun.
The joy she got, there was this particular Toby Jug joke that she bought about six times, and each time the joy of buying it for 2 euros. And sure, Vincent's were getting the money each time. Did it matter? You know, and
exactly,
it was just the joy of her coming and saying, I bought an antique today. You're not going to believe it. You know, and she'd show you the Toby Jug. So, you know, but these are all that, because you get dressed up, and when you're going out shopping, you know, and 20 euros is a small little budget, but you can go to any of these charity shops with just 1 or 2 euros in your pocket and you'll still come away with something. And you've had the adventure, you've had the day out, and you got a bit of air and a bit of exercise, and, you know, and that's really what it's all about, isn't
it? Exactly. I mean, I know my mum loves the kiddies, you know, like the great grandchildren. Oh my goodness, she just loves seeing them. Absolutely. Yeah. And there as well, the smallies, they gravitate towards the oldies, don't they? Because the little guy, he was having a great old chat trying to talk to her, and we were like, oh, look at him. And he hadn't been doing that to anyone else, but he was waffle, waffle, waffle with Nanny, you know, with his great grand.
I think it's that you can see that each of them has time for each other.
Yeah.
Like, I know my own mom, her favourite was when the kids were all tiny babies, because she would literally, as she used to her own words, she'd say, I'd sit under a baby for hours, because she'd just look at the little face and all the expressions. And, like, mothers are busy, you know, and you've got the baby on your hip and you're trying to get a dinner on and you're trying to check homework with somebody else. And, you know, it's just, life is really busy.
Yes.
So, you know, when you have a granny, the time is just endless, and all they want to do is just sit and mind this baby, and babies respond to that.
They do.
So it's lovely to introduce that.
Now, so gosh, I can't believe the time has run away. I could talk to you all day about this. It's great fun.
Next week and I'll meet all these wonderful people, and we'd be delighted to have you.
I will definitely try
want,
to get
I,
down.
I can tweet you and I can give you all the information so that your listeners will be able to have the special code and get there for the whole day for €30, including their lunch, and then a free concert on Thursday night as well.
Great. Well, tweet near the near. I'm not sure even what the tweet is for Near FM. I'm not a Twitter. I'm not a Twitter person. I'm a Facebook person. I don't do that.
I can find you on Facebook as well. That's the gorgeous thing about social media. I know a lot of people give out about it.
Yes.
But when you're trying to connect with people who are kind of like minded, it's a great platform to find all these people.
Yes.
I'll find you.
So you'll find me, Adrienne Murphy, anyway. You'll find me on Facebook. And I want to tell everybody about that free community concert. It's Thursday, the 2nd of May. And will the choir be singing at that, or is it plays?
Absolutely. They're opening the show. So they're definitely not opening the show. And then we have the wonderful Dermot Bulger, the writer, the author, the poet, and the playwright. Dermot Bulger wrote a gorgeous poem for his dad, who also had dementia. It's called While We Sleep. Now, it's a heartbreaker. Beautiful poem, as only Dermot could write. And as his gift, he has given us the copy of the poem to reproduce in the programme free of charge. That's his donation. So it's which is beautiful. And then we have Crave Fearshy Gregon, traditional Irish band are going to play traditional music. And these are a gorgeous group of players from age 8 to 18.
Wow.
Which is the intergenerational aspect of the whole. That's how reminiscence works, is when you introduce all the different ages. And then we have the Mary Grimes School of Irish Dancing are going to perform. Actually, they've just done really well. They were in the world last week.
Wow.
Down in Killarney. And they won all sorts of prizes for jigs and wheels and hornpipes. And they're going to do a lovely performance, close the show with Riverdance. So we've all that to look forward to, free of charge. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors who have been able to facilitate us in offering this free concert to all of the people of Dublin. And we're just so lucky to have all these people coming from around the world. They've never been to Ireland before, let alone Dublin. So this is a big deal for them.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you get plenty of people going down. And it's in the Marine Hotel in Sutton. So there's darts available, buses, there's all sorts, and free car parking available. So
free car parking. The dart is just right there at Sutton, and the number 31 bus goes literally outside the door. So there is no excuse not to go there. Half past nine until six on Thursday, and half past nine until half past three on Friday. And the reason we have to leave early on Friday is because we have a special private reception with the Lord Mayor of Dublin in the Mansion House, which is very exciting.
Right.
And the Lord Mayor of Fingal is opening the conference for us on Thursday. So 2 days and two Lord Mayors, what are the chances of that?
That's fantastic. 2 days and two Lord Mayors. My goodness.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Well, you're a lovely, lovely lady. It's been just a joy to talk to you, Karen. And I do hope to see you down there one of the days over that
Great,
weekend.
Great, Adrienne. We'd love to welcome you there and all your listeners. So we'll put it out on Twitter and on Facebook. And hopefully we'll have lots of people coming there. Particularly, this is really important for carers to come. That's why the price is so low, so that everyone can have access. You know, the job of a carer often goes unnoticed, and it's a very long, long job, and it can be a long, lonely job. But there's so many ways to engage, and if you find the musical or the song or the basketball or the baking, whatever it is, you know, there's some little way that you can connect with the person that you're minding and, you know, just have fun again. That's the aim of the game, isn't it?
That's it, exactly. It definitely is. So thanks so much. Hope all goes well for that weekend. And I'm sure I'll be talking to you again. And please Facebook me anything. details and I'll put them out on Near.
Lovely talking to you.
And
thanks for having me on your show.
Not at all. Great stuff.
Okay.
Take care, Karen. Bye-bye.
Cheers.